In the gospel reading today, our Lord says some pretty strong things. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Does God actually want us to hate other people? No, he's the one who commanded us to love. And it's interesting that we even have that reading from St. Paul juxtaposing this point in the first reading, that the entire law is summed up in this one statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So which is it? Are we to love or are we to hate? Well, the Lord oftentimes speaks in hyperbole, making statements that are strong to be able to get people's attention. But what it really comes down to is the matter of loving God. Now you stop and ask yourself, if you were to look, for instance, at your son or daughter who is soon to get married, and you were to say to them, you better love me more than your to-be spouse. And your children, when you have them, you have to love me more than your spouse and kids. They're going to say, Mom or Dad, give me a break. I mean, this is my wife, my husband, these are my children. No, I have to love them too. No, you have to love me more. Well, how selfish can you get? And yet that's exactly what Jesus tells us, that we have to love him more than everyone else. But in this case, it's not about being selfish. It's because he is God. And so that's why he's telling us, unless we love him more than husband or father, mother or wife, the brothers and sisters, children, and so on, unless we love God more, we can't love those people the way that we ought, because the love has to flow from God. And the Lord makes very clear, we have to take up our own cross if we're going to come after him. Now, mind you, this was well before our Lord's passion. And he's telling his disciples they have to take up their cross. So at that point, the context wasn't even with his own cross yet, because he hadn't been crucified. But they all knew the crucifixion was the most horrendous, gruesome, horrible thing that anyone could imagine. They had witnessed what the Romans had done. And it was precisely this that the Lord was talking about. In other words, unless we are willing to suffer even the greatest things, we're not worthy to be his disciples. Now, the word disciple, if we translated that directly into English, would actually be a student. Someone who is a learner. We are to learn from Jesus. Well, that's what we're to do. Then we learn. How did he love? What did he do? Everything was about the love of God. And he did that. He put God in front of everyone. And then he loved everyone with the love of God. Now, again, we could look at that and say, but he is God, so that's pretty easy for him. But that's not the point. The point is that the love for the people flowed from his love for his heavenly Father. And he did exactly what he asked us to do. He was willing to give up everything in order to come to us, in order to serve us, and ultimately in order to do the will of his heavenly Father. He was willing to come to earth. He was willing to take on a human nature, a nature infinitely lower than his own divine nature. He was willing to even walk away from his beloved mother so that he could go and preach. He was willing to go away from the people who thought that he was great. And he said, no, why? We have to go to other towns and preach the gospel there too. He was willing to not have a spouse. He was willing to not have a home. He was willing literally to give up everything for us and for the love of God. And so we have to look at that then. He may not literally ask us to give up everything, but he's asking us to be willing. He's asking us to be detached. He's asking us, are you willing to do whatever it is that I might ask of you? Remember the early Christians, St. Paul talks about this in his letter to the Hebrews. All their goods were confiscated. Some of them, as we look back through the Old Testament and then into the New Testament times, people wound up being exiled. They wound up living in caves and in holes in the ground and all these other things that they had to do. They lost everything. All that they had to do was to deny Jesus. They could have kept it all, but they wouldn't do that because they loved Jesus more than they loved all of their things. Do we? Do we love Jesus more than our junk? I mean, some of your junk might be worth a lot of money, but nonetheless, it's a material thing. It's going to be gone one day. It doesn't matter if the thing is worth tens of millions of dollars. Someday it's not going to exist any longer. And even when we die, it's going to get passed on to somebody else, so you're not going to have it. Somebody else will. So are you willing to let it go if God asks you to? Or is that thing, whatever it is, more important to you than God? See, this is what our Lord is getting at. Is this person more important to you than God? Or is God more important than anyone and everyone? So again, he may not ask you to do something, but he's asking you to be willing to do it. What if he asks you something really, really difficult? Maybe he asks you to be a martyr. Maybe he's going to ask you to go and do something. Are you willing? That's what he's looking at. And those are questions we can all look at deeply in our own hearts. If the greatest commandments in the law are love God and love neighbor, in that order, is that really what we're doing? It's easy to give that lip service. It's a whole different matter to put it into practice. The Lord's not looking for lip service with our hearts far from him. He's looking for a heart that's focused on him, that seeks to love him, that seeks to do his holy will. So in a way that is unique to each one of us, that is exactly what he is asking us to do. And so that's why he lays all that out that way. If we want to be his disciple, if we want to learn from him, if we want to be conformed to him, we have to do what he was willing to do for us. And in turn, we need to have that disposition to be willing to do that for him.